Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the Kingdom of God. And we shifted gears in the last two shows that we've done today. And we've just finished a 10-part series on John the Baptist TV, which the website disappeared after we started that series. And you couldn't go to it anymore. And then it finally came back, but all the conversation in the blog about what we had written disappeared. It just eviscerated. It's not there anymore. And I have no idea why nobody's contacted us, but that's okay, because we copied and pasted it before we started the series, and we've now finished the series. So we've gone through that entire blog to try to alleviate a lot of the misconceptions that modern Christianity has been infected with over the last 2,000 years. And that's a bold statement. We're used to making bold statements, but we're also used to backing it up with facts and information. We bring you the inconvenient truth, what people don't really want to hear but need to hear just the same. And also today, more people were joining the network. Actually, this week, several people. We have people in Texas and people in California. And I don't know where they all are at, because I don't need to know, because we're networking. People are networking. There was a meeting this morning in a conference call, and there was a meeting back several times last week and on different subject matters. And people are actually meeting, and people are actually traveling around meeting. We have somebody from California going out to Kentucky and looking for replacements for his job in California. He's out of Southern California. Actually, we have some people in Southern California that ought to step up to the plate. And this is one of the hard things about the kingdom, and this is one of the things that Christ had to contend with, is getting people to step up to the plate, because there's actually something to do in the kingdom. There are actually jobs and job titles and things that you need to do. And everybody's got a job. There is no unemployment in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, the individual moving out there was kind of unemployed, and somebody in the network found him work and a place to live. And so he's going to go out there, and he's going to help them, and they're going to help him. And that's what you do. Your health, education, and welfare. You're the faith emergency ministry auxiliary. You're the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And it's been so long since you've actually been that. I mean, people talk about it, but they aren't actually what they're talking about. They're not actually doing what that would mean. But that's what the early church was doing. They were opting out of one system and opting into another system. And the system they opted into operated by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. I know lots of people want to be at liberty, but they don't want to have anything to do with faith, hope, and charity. And the fact is, you can't have one without the others. And you won't have the others without the one. And so God makes it so that if you will repent and turn around and seek His righteous ways, you will be free. He will set you free. That's like the early church was set free. And they were persecuted at times, but they grew and they were thrived when most of Rome was collapsing. Whole cities disappeared during the collapse of Rome. They just flat out disappeared. Nobody was in them anymore. But between the invasions and the economic collapse and plagues that came on people, they just disappeared, but Christians were prominent. The problem is, if you go to school today, they won't tell you what those Christians were doing. As a matter of fact, it's amazing, if you go to church today, they won't tell you what those Christians were doing. Oh, they talk about it, persecution and hard times, but they were actually, this is the amazing thing, they were thriving. growing, so much so that Constantine tried to emulate the Christians by 300 AD, because his kingdom, even though he still had an army and they could move around with their swords and, you know, and wipe out whole villages and kill his partners and all these things, that the Christians were doing better. And they weren't doing any of those things. How was that happening? And so he said, I want some of that. But he only wanted some of that. And that's kind of what Christians are today. They only want some of it. They want to get baptized and be saved, but they don't want to repent. As a matter of fact, they don't even know what repenting means. It means turning around and going the other way. So what's some of the things that are happening? And this is where we got on this new topic. And it's the topic of parens patria. It's the topic of fathers. And Jesus said, call no man father upon the earth. And I read two quotes right out of court decisions that we have up on the Preparing You site under the webpage called Father. And one of them says, pursuant to the parens patria doctrine, and you say, well, what's parens patria? Well, it's Latin, yeah. And it's actually, the term is found in the U.S. codes. And this parens patria doctrine is that the state is your father. That's the doctrine. But Jesus said, don't go by that doctrine. But did you know that that is the doctrine of most churches today? They tell you to obey your father, the state. I mean, they don't say father all the time. And of course, we're not saying to disobey them. We're just saying that's where you're at. And it says, pursuant to the parens patria doctrine, the primary control and custody of infants is with the government. Now, that's an older case, but that was actually known. And they actually said infants. But there's actually other ways that that's put. Those that have been incapacitated or have a deformity or cannot fend for themselves. And you can say, well, I can't take care of myself. And I can take care of my family. Well, do you send your kids to public school? Well, then you're not taking care of your family. The public schools are sending you to are taking care of your family. Now, let me take this one step farther. Another case a little bit later said, in other words, the state is the father and mother of the child, and the natural parents are not entitled to the custody except upon the state's beneficent nature, upon its benefaction. You only get to keep your kids if the state gives you permission to keep your kids. You see, because you're not at natural law. Now remember, the law of nature and nature's God. You remember where they talked about that? And constitutions and declarations of independence. They talked about this law of nature and nature's God. Well, husband and wife are a term, capital letter, husband and wife are a term of nature. But that's not what you guys are. You're a product of the civil law. Most of your unions are a product of the civil law. And the civil law doesn't set you free. It brings you into bondage. And what's happened is the state has become your father. And I gave, to bring you all up to speed in one of the earlier shows, you at least heard this on one old TV show, if not, but you've always heard where some young man is pushing his envelope and challenging his father, or maybe his stepfather, and the father says, if you eat at my table, you play by my rules. And that's the way he works, you know, and that makes sense. I mean, you're going to eat at your father's table. I remember once when I was working in a wheat farm in North Dakota, and there was a young boy there, you know, 15, 16 years old. And he's an old man now, but because I'm an older man now. And I was working on that farm. And his father had a rule that, you know, you put something on your bread, like butter, that's all you put on there. You put peanut butter on, you just put peanut butter. You put jelly on, you just put jelly. You don't go putting 2, 3, 4 things on your bread. You don't need that. That's extravagant, he thought. And it's just the way he was raised. the way he looked at things, and I could tell you stories because I know the way he was raised. He's passed on now, and he was a good guy, and he was telling his son, that's what you do. But now, I was sitting there at the table, and I brought in my own bread, and I brought in my own peanut butter, and I brought in my own honey, and I was putting peanut butter and honey on my bread. And I was getting away with that, and he saw that, and he wanted to do it. And he started to reach over to take some of the honey and put on his bread, and I put my hand out, and I said, ho, 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 your dad said one thing. He says, well, you're putting two things on. I says, yeah, I'm putting my two things on there. You're eating at your dad's table. You got to eat it the way your dad says. And he was shocked. His dad just gave a big grin. He wasn't being a stinker about it or anything. But, you know, young boys, they don't like to necessarily always bend to their father's will, but they need to learn that. You can't be a good leader until you're a good follower. And a son needs to get over his rebellious nature and do what he ought to do based on first doing what his father tells him to do. And he's grown up now. I don't know what he puts on his bread. But that's the principle. If you eat at the king's table, you got to do things by the king's rules. Problem is, where's Christ's table? There ain't no Christ table anymore. You don't go, if you're in economic straits, if you've lost your job and broke your legs and you can't make a living for your family, you go to church? No. You go to the government. You don't go to church. The church's not going to help you. Oh, they'll pray for you. They ain't going to do anything for you. They'll bless you. But they ain't going to actually bless you with service. You see, because the word for service and worship doesn't mean service and worship anymore. It means talking and singing. That's what it means. Oh, we'll help the missions out because it doesn't cost much to send a few bucks to the missions. We're not going to take care of the welfare of our congregation. That's the government's job. Wasn't 200 years ago. Wasn't 100 years ago. But it is now. You think that's changed society? Well, look around you, old folks. You think kids are different today than they were yesterday? You think people are growing up with different values today than they did when you were a kid? Well, you go tell them, because they ain't going to listen to you anyway, because they already know you're not smart enough to educate them, because you sent them off to public school when it was time to learn something. So why should they go to you to learn anything? Because, you know, in them public schools, they've been telling you for a long time that your parents aren't very smart. One way or another, that's what they've been telling them. And they believe it. And the media tells them. I mean, look at all your old shows. Father Knows Best. Well, Father Knows Best, he was screwing up left and right. Danny Thomas Show, he was always screwing up. Even the Dick Van Dyke Show, it was almost slapstick about the trouble that he would get in, the mistakes he would make. You know, it's all preparing you to think, you know, my dad's not so smart. Now, young teenagers would think that anyway, but they didn't need all that fuel thrown on the fire. Fact is all these things in the news lately, the Justina story, and you don't even hear all the stories. You don't even hear half the story, not even hardly a percent of the stories that go on. We put up a couple of stories in the last few months about, you know, Mark Taylor and another fellow, Brent, who were lobotomized by doctors, chemically lobotomized, turned into almost vegetable state. And then their parents' custody was terminated. Actually, they just snatched them up and did it to them. And they've done this to other people, lots of people, because there's real money in it. You know, we know, people say, oh, that can't be. That can't be. We don't have that. That doesn't happen. That guy's just a conspiracy nut. Well, the headline news that judges in Pennsylvania took millions of dollars in bribes in order to incarcerate kids on trumped up charges sometimes, over incarcerated kids on little petty little incidences, in order to get money back from the private businesses that were running the children's reform incarceration thing for the state. They made money every time those beds were full. When the beds weren't full, they weren't making money. So they paid judges to put them in jail. And eventually the judges got caught. Now, I don't think the judges are even in jail now, but they might be. And they got fined. But that's the ones that got caught there. Anybody catch the ones down in Humboldt County doing that? Somebody tried to speak out about it. An old man, 70-year-old man, tried to speak out about it. He was thrown in jail for going 20 seconds over his speaking. And he stepped down. He was interrupted several times. He says, well, I'd be done if you guys hadn't kept interrupting me. And he says, I know all you guys, but something's got to be done. Now, he didn't understand what he was exposing. He was exposing graft and corruption. He just thought they had a bad idea about putting all these kids in jail. He doesn't know the judges in Humboldt County are taking kickbacks. Now, I could tell you that on the radio. I could call up the FBI and tell them. I probably don't have to call up the FBI. They're probably listening in. Do you think they're going to run down there and catch those judges in Humboldt County? No. They don't catch them doing those things. That's not the agenda. But that's what's happening. And you think it's only in Humboldt County and in Pennsylvania? Those are just the places I know about. And I'm out here in the middle of the desert. How do I know about these things and you don't? It's because you ain't looking. You're not looking for trouble. You're not interested in tending to law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Look at that whole thing with Justina. That's been incarcerated for going to a doctor for 14 months. She'd been incarcerated and kept away from her family and denied medical treatment that had made her well and now has put her a cripple in a wheelchair. And the judge just awarded custody of her to the same agency that has done this to her. And you know what reason he gave? He didn't give a reason. He just ruled. He gave no reason why he ruled the way he did. He explained himself zilch. He denied her right to counsel of her choice. He's terminated the parental rights. He didn't charge them with a crime. He didn't even accuse them of a crime. He just terminated them. Why? Because the state is the father and the mother, and they can do that. You only have your kids because they want to be nice to you. When they don't want to be nice to you anymore, they're taking them away. And then you're going to squeal like a stuck pig. And who's going to hear you? Did you hear when they took Justina away from her parents? How many people you think showed up down there at the courthouse in Massachusetts to protest taking this child away and crippling her and imprisoning her and keeping her from her sisters and her parents so that she can't even see the people that she loves? I mean, why? What crime did she commit? How many people do you think showed up? 10. Whole state of Massachusetts. Whole city of Boston. Handful of people show up to protest. Just to say, we don't think this is fair. I mean, we're not asking you to storm the blockade, you know, and bust open the Bastille. We're just saying show up and complain. I'd rather just send a tweet. You think there's any hope for America? Nah. Not a ghost of a chance. You guys are doomed. I don't want... If you live in Massachusetts or Boston, I suggest you move before fire and brimstone comes down from the sky. No, I don't actually want you to move based on that. I want you to move towards Christ. Move towards the way. People say, well, I didn't know. Everybody in our network knew because we sent them out notices letting them know. They all knew. But you're probably not in our network. So, yeah, well, you wouldn't know then. Why aren't you in the network? Well, I was busy. Well, when you need help, I can send you the card right now. I'm busy. That's what we'll respond. When you need help, you just figure I'm going to send you a card that says I'm busy. Because you were busy when other people needed your help. Now, I mean, Justine and her parents are not in our network either, but it is unjust what's happening. So we should speak up. We should at least show up. And that's what you need. That's why you need a network of people that actually are beginning to understand what Christ was talking about. Christ rebuked the Pharisees because they didn't say Yahweh? No, that wasn't it. Because they didn't say, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? No, that wasn't it. Why did he rebuke them? Because they did not attend to law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Where is law and judgment and mercy in the Justina case or the Mark Taylor case? Where is it? It's not there. But you were too busy. So it goes on. Now, is the answer to pass some legislation? We talked about some of the ones that people are trying to get passed and some of the amendments that people are trying to put in place. It's not the solution. Christ is the solution, but the real Christ, not this made-up one that's been preached in your churches. And we talked this morning about this call no man father and why Jesus said that, because all the senators of Rome were called father and the emperor was called our father. And we talked about Paul Harvey been given a speech every year since 1965 talking about what the devil would do, and if he kept doing what he was doing, that eventually you would be saying our father who art in Washington. And of course that is what you say, and you say that already in word and deed, because that's where you pray for your daily bread. If you have a need, you go there and pray to him for a benefit. When you want to keep your children, you're going to go and pray to him because he's the real father. You're not. But Jesus was preaching this father in heaven. That's where we were supposed to pray. Well, how does that work? They asked John the Baptist, how does that work? What did John Baptist say? He says, well, you fill out this form here, and you sign down here under penalty of perjury. And no, that's not what he said. Just in case you think I'm being serious. No, John the Baptist didn't say that. He said, if you have two coats and your neighbor has none, share. Do the same in meats. Do the same in bread. Do the same in everything. Take care of one another. That's act of love for one another. In order to do that, it will only work if you come together with people who care about their neighbor as much as they care about themselves. Those people are really hard to find. They are really, really hard to find. They are more precious than a ruby. They are the treasured pearl of great price. They are gold tried in fire. And they're hard to find, just like gold. Now, you can go look for gold, or you can go look for those people. I'm looking for those people. And if you think you're one of those people, go join us on the Living Network and get hooked up with an actual physical human being, not just with a Twitter or a tweet. Actually connect with real physical people. Gather together by phone, or if you can, drive to each other's house and say, okay, how can we serve Christ and our neighbor? Now, they say, let's feed the homeless. Well, that's ridiculous. You're just going to go out and feed homeless people? Why are they homeless? Why do they need food? What's happened? You can't just go out and throw food out the window. It's not right to waste food. Dennis the Menace said that. Can't waste food. And isn't it a waste of food to give to people that are not righteous? You're not supposed to have anything to do with the unrighteous. Now, I'll admit that out there amongst the homeless and the needy of society, there's probably some really righteous people who need some help. And it's not a bad idea to help them. But the idea is to help people the way Christ would do it. We need to set the table of the Lord. Everybody knows where the table of the kings are. The rulers, the benefactors who exercise authority. They're down there at the county seat and the government offices where you can sign up for Social Security and welfare and unemployment, food stamps. You can go down and sign up for all those things. And you should, if that's the kind of person you are. But if you're Christ's kind of person, you need to seek a way to live by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. The ones who do that, they will be free. The ones who don't do that, they will not be free. That's the way it works. Now, what did I just say there? I said, the ones who don't do that will not be free. And doing that means that you have to gather together with the purpose of not being fed, but of feeding others, of helping others, of setting the table of the Lord. Jesus came to serve. If you're coming in the name of Jesus, Yahshua, Yahweh, whatever you want to call him, if you're coming in his name, you come to serve. That's what you do. So that's why we created the Living Network, and we advise everybody to join it and connect with other people and just start dedicating a little bit of time to try to get to know these people and try to figure out what you can do to get closer to the kingdom. We, in the course, the online course that we have now, that's the essay for this week. It's due Monday for all those people in the course, and it's not graded. And I was going to talk about it on a few of these shows, but I'm waiting till everybody has put in their own 2 cents worth so that I don't influence their answers. What does a congregation of Christians do? What were they doing in the first century church? That's a hint on how to help each other out on that. How were they operating on a day-to-day? It's nothing like what you see in churches today. So anyway, that was the message. Anyway, we got down to Vicarius Pater, and we were going to start talking about that and explain some of these things in how you got to the state where the state was your father and your father had no right to you. Your father and your mother had no right to you. They were only allowed to keep their child, just like livestock. They were only allowed to keep their child if the rancher decided that it was okay to keep them, because they're owned, they're chattel, they're cattle. That's why your census department, the census worker, I mentioned this earlier, when they said they got their paycheck, I told them that, I said, you know, you're just out counting livestock. They didn't expect that. And they said, you know, I get my paycheck from the agricultural department. I just noticed that the other day. Why do I get a paycheck from the agricultural department when I'm working for census? Because you're counting the livestock. But anyway, if you want to learn more about how not to become livestock, we'll do that after the break. And so we'll take a little short break now, and we'll tell you how this works, because it's really clever how they've done this to you and how you've done it to each other. But we'll talk about that when we come back after the break.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Okay. So anyway, I told you I'd talk to you about the Vicarius Pater. And some of you may be familiar with the term Vicarius of Christus, or Vicar of Christ. And all of you have to put on your little Latin hats now so that you know what we're talking about here. Vicar is not the word for representative. Vicar is the word for substitute. Representative would be legatus. And so when they say Vicar of Christ, they're talking about substitute Christ. Not the real Christ, a substitute. It's kind of like Mother Nature don't accept any substitutes. But we're going to talk about Vicarius Pater. And what that's really about is substitute father. And you'll find that phrase occasionally in legal dictionaries and legal documents. Substitute father. So who is the substitute father, the Vicarius Pater? There's another Latin word that we use is conscripti patri, which is conscripted fathers. These are fathers other than your natural father. And Rome had devised a system based on natural law because this was such a big thing to take a child away from their natural father, because that was the natural ruler of the family is the father and the mother. They are the ones who have custody of the child. They produce the child. And they had a natural property right in that child. A responsibility to protect them, to raise them, to teach them. And that was their child. Not just give birth and then take them away. You know, like veal. You know, that's how you make veal, is that, you know, the calf is born. And then you immediately take the calf away and you put it on milk. And you only feed it milk. You just keep growing that calf, and you only feed it milk, and it ends up with this white, white meat, and then they butcher it early, and they sell it for lots of money. But that isn't the natural way. And the natural way of dairy cows, you know, where they take the calf away, and they put it on replacer, and then they they take all the milk, because they can make more money with the milk, and they sell that to you. But there are some people who are producing whole milk now, and they actually let the calves suck on the mothers, and they don't like purebred dairy, and they feed them green all year round as much as they possibly can. They don't give them GMO corn, and they produce really good milk for about $15 a gallon. But it's a lot of work, but it's a lot better for you. But that's the natural way that you raise livestock, is not what's happening to people. You've become livestock, but they're not going to raise you the natural way. But they know that if they put everybody on welfare and just try to turn you into a machine, that's not going to work either. So they want parents who will take care of the kid and produce a child that has some ability to produce and work, but they don't want them to be too independent. And so they just want to kind of, you know, like when a slave would escape, if he escaped more than once, they would actually go and cut some of the ligaments in his leg or foot so that he couldn't run. He would limp the rest of his life, but he was less likely to try to escape after that. And so that's what they kind of do. They just want to lobotomize you a little bit, make you dumb you down a little bit so that you don't have enough sense to get out of the cup, as Solzhenitsyn would say, but they don't want to cripple you so much that you become a total basket case. Now, like I was saying before, these kids that were being put into juvenile delinquent halls, and because the judges were taking kickbacks to put more kids in jail so the people providing those facilities would keep their beds full and making lots and lots of money. And they were able to pay off millions of dollars. This is the kind of money that's involved. Well, now the new thing is to give you a lobotomizing drug. And because it's easier to take care of you, and they actually get more money for taking care of somebody that's mentally incapacitated. And if you listen to our shows before on how we got up to Somatoform and Justina and Mark Taylor and all these stuff, that the new parameters coming down in the manuals that these guys are writing, the medical manuals, millions and millions of more Americans will be classified as mentally ill and need those drugs. And you can fill up all the beds in your sanatorium. And you can make lots of money drugging these people. And they're really, I mean, all you really need is a nightgown and a mop. And you can take care of a lot of people, you know, and a little tuna fish. And you can take care of a lot of people. You can make way more money than in convalescent homes. And you know, you have to feed those people some kind of good food or they'll leave. But if you've got them lobotomized, you can just keep them in there and make lots and lots of money. You think that's not happening? You think that motivation isn't out there? It is, and it is happening. And it's happening more and more and more. But you're probably not going to be told that by most preachers because they don't want to scare you. They want you to keep coming back to get your ears tickled, and then they want your tithe. Well, we want you to tithe because we know that it will bless you. You don't have to tithe to me. We just want you to form congregations that actually start really caring about people. And if you don't care about all the people that are being unjustly treated, then you probably won't care about each other when you're unjustly treated. So, you know, you really need to start practicing pure religion. That's what it comes down to. But anyway, in Roman law, Caesar's right and authority and dominion over his subject citizenry as emperor stemmed from his position as vicarius pater, substitute father. Now, before you even got an emperor or substitute father, you had senators who were considered old men. Senators, that's what it kind of meant, old men. And they were fathers, and they were old, and they were supposedly wiser. But they couldn't make law at first. They didn't have any power to make law for the individual Roman. But as the citizen became more and more franchised under systems of social welfare, then they got more and more power to make law. And they had to keep you content, so they'd give you benefits like free bread and circuses. And they had to invade countries now and then in order to afford to do that. And then it also kept you, you know, kind of in a state of fear because, you know, you're always worried about some of these people invading you back. You know, once the Jutes came down and invaded Rome and took it over and forced Rome to pay them a tribute, you know, the weight of their leader in gold. And then they went back. And they were kind of afraid that would happen again. So, you know, you keep the people afraid and then you can keep the people controlled. But eventually you weaken the people too much and the whole system collapses. And you strengthen the leaders too much and corruption, you know, cleans out the treasury, so to speak, like Nero did. And other emperors, he wasn't alone. I don't want to put all the blame on the poor guy. But anyway, the authority that was once in the family, what they called the Mirum or Imperium, was once vested in the family alone. And then the people in the family, in order to receive the benefits of Rome, invested that right to choose, that power to choose, in the emperor. And that power grew and grew and grew and grew. And then that gives the emperor a jurisdiction, jura meaning right, diction meaning to dictate, over the lives of the people he is now taking care of. You eat at my table, you do it the way I say. So that's the way it works. You see, so he's got to get you, he's got to set a table. It usually takes a certain amount of capital to get started. But he sets a table. This is how Pharaoh got his power. He had money that to put up grain. The people of Egypt were not subject to the Pharaoh at first. They went under the subject nature during the famine. But at first, he was just a wealthy, rich, and influential individual under certain laws that he could do certain things, but he couldn't rule over the people. He couldn't take your sons and daughters. He couldn't do that until you went and started eating at his table. And this is why the Bible tells you, if you sit and eat with a king, put a knife to your throat, because you shouldn't be eating at the table, because they serve you deceitful meats. I mean, this is basic. You don't ever hear this in Bible study. They don't even make the connection. They are lobotomized already. But anyway, this jurisdiction conferred by what they call lex curiata and came from the power of the sword to turn the life of the wicked. Now, what the heck are they talking about? The power of the sword to turn the life of the wicked. Well, see, the sword used to be in the hands of everybody. And you were responsible. You had to attend to the weightier laws of judgment and mercy. And that was your job. And we used to call it citizen's arrest. Hue and cry, even before that. Hue and cry. If somebody got robbed, everybody turned out. You know, there was somebody got robbed, and there actually was a murder involved on a little island off the coast of Massachusetts. And the guy got ashore, and somebody survived and revealed who it was who had done all this terrible stuff. And a lady hidden behind a rock, and then she eventually got flagged down somebody and told them what had happened. And whole towns showed up. Somebody actually murdered this innocent girl with an axe. And everywhere, all up and down the coast, whole towns, thousands of people showed up. They hunted this guy down, caught him, put him in chains, put him on a train, hauled him all the way back for trial. And every place they stopped, thousands of people showed up at the railroad station. Justine is kidnapped, taken from her parents. 10 people show up. You think socialism changes the nature of society? You betcha. It squelches the hue and cry in your hearts. Nobody's interested in righteousness anymore. Nobody. Oh, they'll tweet, but they're not going to actually go anywhere and do anything. We're not going to actually, you know, I don't want to actually show up, you know, we might get in trouble. You guys just kiss your chains and give them a good hug tonight when you go to bed, because you're going to be with them for a long time. You're not going to be free people. So if you want to start getting together with other people, and I'm not talking about rebellion. I'm not talking about rebellion at all against government. That government is serving a purpose. It's punishing the wicked. All the people that want to eat at the table and not do what it says. All the people who want to take away from their neighbor through covetousness. Through men who exercise authority. That's its job. Make life miserable for you. And it's doing a good job. Actually, it should be making it a little bit more miserable pretty soon here. If history continues to repeat itself. I'm talking about stop rebelling against God. Stop looking to men who exercise authority to provide you with your dainties and your table and your meats and your daily bread. Start setting the table of God. Because the failure to do that is why the state is your father. And your daddy don't love you. Your father in heaven does. He would even give up his own son that you might be free. But you got to repent. You're not going to be free any other way. So anyway, if the government had captured you, if they were just usurping some sort of authority, but they're not. The fact is you usurped the authority, you usurped your neighbor's goods in order to get your free education and your health care and your all these things. And so therefore you should go under tribute. This office, imperium, was vested by the people in the imperator. They're right. Remember, why did they pick Saul? Because Saul was going to go out and fight their battles for them. He was going to be commander in chief. And electing him was called in the Bible a rejection of God. Because you were supposed to do that. It doesn't mean you couldn't elect a leader, but you couldn't elect a ruler to rule over everybody, to take your right to choose. You see, when you start doing that, before you know it, you'll have wars all over the world. You'll have thousands of people dying. Yeah, they'll be taking your sons and putting them in harm's way. You know, like they'll blow up a munitions factory with poison gas and it upwind to your sons and daughters, and they'll all be poisoned. They'll come back with, you know, some crazy disease, and they'll call it Gulf War Syndrome or something. I mean, that's what's going to happen. Oh, wait a minute. That already happened. Sorry. Anyway, you get my drift here. I'm trying to make this interesting, but I'm also trying to slap you around a little bit so you wake up and realize that you can do something about this. and start forming that network that cares about righteousness. Don't get mad at injustice. That's not the answer. Don't shake your fist at the king. The king's doing his job. His job is to make your life miserable. And more miserable. He's been kind of slacking off. He's been making things too easy for you. But that's always the way it is at the start. Then it gets harder as time goes by. Anyway, as this office expands during this civil conflict, which they often bring about, and fear, it emerged from the office with another office called the Apotheos. These are the offices of the emperor. Imperator means commander-in-chief. If you look up in the Collins Latin Dictionary, that's what it means. Apotheos means appointer of gods. That means he appointed all the judges throughout the empire, the imperial judges. He didn't appoint local judges, which we would call state judges or county judges. He appointed the federal judges, the imperial judges. And they call it Apotheos, appointer of gods. That's the way it translates out if you translate Theos gods. Theos really means magistrates or judges. And it's even translated that way in the Bible. But most of the time you see it as God. But that's what it means when it says don't make covenants with their gods. It's talking about making covenants with their magistrates, not with their statues. Statues just represent that authority. So anyway, those were the two main offices, and the other one was Principas Civitas, which was the first citizen of Rome, or what we would call the president. They created that same system, but then it became more and more socialist, and the people became more and more weak. But how do you get those sons away from the father? Well, that's part of the process. Anyway, try to get through this really quick. In that world at the time of the Roman Empire, as it is in America today, there was a dual system of citizenship. And this also went on in Judea, I should say, also. In Judea, and that's why they came to Christ when it came to paying this tax. They asked, does your master pay the tax? Because some people didn't have to pay it because they had not yet been bound in that system. John the Baptist didn't. Jesus didn't. The only reason he allowed Peter to do it is because he didn't want to make Peter a liar, because Peter said yes, and he took Peter aside and told him he said this wrong. Now, most of you have probably said yes, and now you have to make your yeses yes. Most of you have been bound in a system that's bankrupt. You see, debt is a really important part of the system. Once they get you eating at the table, you owe them something for the meal. It's like going into a restaurant, eating the meal, ordering food, eating the meal, and then telling them you don't have any money. You're going to be doing dishes. You know, it might be worse than that. You might be going to jail. But the point is that you're bound by that debt. You can't just get out by saying, well, I don't want to belong to this club anymore. And that's the bondage of Egypt. And then things start getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, I already covered this morning on another show who owns the note, which is a scary thought, because when they come to collect it, who are you going to cry out to? Big problem. Anyway, this lawful effect of emancipation, it required three things, and we'll run over that really quick here before we get to the end, but this emancipation required novation, which you have to originate, and this can be done when you're a child. You have to originate a connection between you and this new father by permission of your parent, either your father or your mother. And they have to make a mark, a note, and establish the fact that your parents need help. They are not capable of handling the situation on their own. They need to go to somebody to get help. And it has to be somebody working for the patronus of the state. Somebody under the authority of the patronus of the state. And I'm throwing out some of these words like patronus and imperium, because all this process was well known and documented at the time of Rome. What they did was birth registration. Now, birth registration under Caesar was not mandatory. birth registration, when I say Caesar, I mean Augustus Caesar. It wasn't mandatory under any of the other Caesars, Nero or any of those. Birth registration wasn't mandatory. It was an option. So some people went out and got that birth registration, but that didn't bind you. It just created the first connection, the novitia. You weren't bound yet. The novitia is the beginning, the novice state. Now, the second step is tutor. You had to take benefits as you were growing up. You had to receive some, you know, free bread or something, you know, based on the number of children, you could get more bread. So if you produced the fact that you had, you know, four children, when you came into the free bread lines, which were every week in Rome, you would get free bread based on the number of kids you had. But they had to be registered kids. Now, you didn't have to register them, but if you did, you had to have them registered. And if you got that tutor, and then now the kid becomes of age, now he had to do one more thing. And this is what seals the emancipation of a child to the state. And that is, he had to start to sacrifice upon the altars. And he had to make a record of it. He had to do it as a matter of record that he was, you know, the Romans would put on a toga. And then he would go and sacrifice something at the altar based on statutory requirements. And then he would be emancipated from his father. Now, he can still call his dad, but his real dad now is the state. Now, when that individual wants to get married, he's got to go to his father, the state, to ask permission. See, under natural law, he belonged to his father, so he would ask to go to his father, you know, like Samson did, and ask permission to get married. And people don't do that anymore, but they do go to their father, the state, to ask permission to get married. And if they get married without permission, or they copulate without permission, they can be held liable for what they produce. This goes back to Greek law, that if a guy, you know, in Greek law, in Lycurgus's journal, a woman could marry as many times as she wanted. She could get a divorce at a drop of a hat. She could have children by as many different people as she wanted. And if her husband was still her husband, when she had those children, he had to support them by paying into the state. If he didn't, any citizen could beat him up. Why? Because those are all the brothers of the father, you know. And they can all come in and beat you up if you don't support. That's what they want. That's the way they wanted to create a society where the women are just breeders and any bull could come in and breed them. And all the bulls had to work to support all the children. They had to, by law. They could be beat up, fined, if they didn't. Now, God's law is that you love one another. Different, entirely different system. Going to produce an entirely different product. You're not in that system. Join us on the network, on the Living Network, and start learning how to live in that system that operates by love. And maybe someday you can say, my Father is in heaven instead of in wherever. Now, until then, though, I'm going to have to say peace on your house and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.